Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
We're going to continue in our journey with Hebrews, but let me set it up with this story. A pastor went to a garage sale because he was wanting to get some things for the church nursery. And this particular sale had tons of stuff, so he loaded up and he was on his way back to the church, and all of a sudden his car ran out of gas. So he gets out and he thinks, oh, I just passed a gas station about a half mile back. So he opens the trunk and he starts pawing through to find something to carry the gasoline. All he can see is an old potty chair. So he grabs a potty chair and he walks down the highway and he goes back to the gas station. He fills her up and he's trying to very, very carefully walk back towards the car. And he gets to the car and he's opening up the gas and he's trying to pour the contents of this potty chair very carefully into the gas tank. And at that very moment, drove by a person who had recently left this church. So the guy turned around, recognized the pastor, and came back and got out of his car and sauntered up to the pastor as he was pouring the contents of the potty chair in. And the guy lifted up his hands and said, "Pastor, if I knew you had faith like that, I'd have never left your church." <You know. laughs> The topic of our conversation this morning is the power of faith to transform. The power of faith to transform our lives. We've been on this journey through the book of Hebrews. And now we come to chapter 11. Now let me back up and kind of do some broad view pictures. Because chapter 11 in Hebrews is arguably the most popular chapter. Most people don't like the first 10 chapters of Hebrews because it's mainly dealing with Old Testament stuff. It's dealing with that type and shadow of people, of what our forefathers and the patriarchs experienced. Now, understand this, though. The entire context of what we have studied and what we have seen thus far was that Jesus is greater than the angels who helped bring the law, that then Jesus was greater than the law itself. Jesus was greater than their hero, Moses. Moses was their hero. Moses was the one they all aspired. Let's be like Moses. Jesus is greater than Moses, your hero. Moses, your example. Moses, the friend of God. Jesus is greater than him. Then it went on that Jesus is greater than the priest, the Levitical priesthood. And then he said that Jesus is greater even than the sacrifices, that Jesus himself was greater than the sacrificial system. Now, this begs a question. Why would the church need that message given to them? You know, if someone comes in and says, "Shut the door." The reason they say "shut the door" is because it's evident maybe there's a draft in the house that the door is open. If someone tells me, "Hey, don't touch the stove. The stove is hot. Don't touch the stove." It's because I'm getting close to getting burnt. So obviously the writer of the letter of Hebrews, a Jewish Christian writing to Jewish Christians, is trying to address something in their life that is indicating that they don't recognize that Jesus is greater than maybe what they were brought up in, than the entire foundation that they originally had, their religious system. Their actions, the goings on in the life of the church was saying that they need to be reminded of this message. And I'd like to say that for us today, we need to be reminded of this message as well. Because it's easy for us to fall into various types of ruts and forget that Jesus is in fact greater. I've got a question for you. Is Jesus greater? In your life, is Jesus greater? And you say, well, greater than what? Well, we'd say greater than anything. You fill in the blanks. Is Jesus greater than your fear? You know what? Some of us need to be told the message that Jesus is greater than our past. Jesus is greater than our failures. Jesus is greater than the person who hurt us. Jesus is greater than the situation that always kept us down. Jesus is greater than even our religion and our efforts to try to connect with God. Jesus is greater than all these things. Some of us need the message that Jesus is greater, that He is greater than our pride, that He's greater than our talents, that He's greater than our treasures, that He's greater than our relationships. And so this message of the greatness of Christ has now echoed through the ages, and it's for us here today. So with this in mind, chapter 11 begins to make sense. It begins to take on a new form because it's connected to chapters 1 through 10. The understanding of faith. And so as we journey through, chapter 11, I want you to know what it's really all about is God's trying to change our hearts. Because the entire law, the entire system, everything up to this had to do with exterior actions. And I want you to know that God is more interested in your heart than your actions. Your actions will follow your heart. But there are times that people... Would you agree with me that an evil person can do good things? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so what God wants to do, though, is He wants to change us from the inside out. And that does not happen by, quote unquote, mere behavior modification. You can't just set a set of rules and say, oh, if you do this and you do this and you do this, that'll change your heart. A lot of times it doesn't. For us to have our heart changed, we need to understand how much God loves us. And so, for some of us, that's a huge task for us to understand that God loves us because we keep messing up. I'm not perfect. Anybody else not perfect? Yeah. And if we continue to go through this cycle, it's huge. So let's begin in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, and I've got four statements about the powerful thing of faith that takes all of these Old Testament thoughts and these Old Testament lessons and about that Jesus is greater than all of these things. How does that greatness then translate to reality in my life? How does the fact that Jesus is greater than religion, that Jesus is greater than the sacrificial system, He's greater than heroes and examples, He's greater than my oppressors, He's greater than all of these things. How does it translate to anything different in my life through faith? Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation. The writer of Hebrews is letting them know that all of their responses, they were responses in faith. They were so convinced of something that it translated to them doing something. It wasn't the doing, it was the faith that motivated them. And the first thing that this is identified with is righteousness. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it, by faith, the people of old received their commendation. That means that they received their good report, that they, through their obedience was pleasing because of their faith. And think about this. Everything that they did was to the shadow that we talked about last week. This was all just the part, just the shadow of God, the shadow, in fact, of Jesus. They couldn't receive God's full inheritance because Jesus at that point had not yet paid the price by His death, His resurrection. So the incompleteness is from the law, and the writer is going to address this later. So they obtained a good report. They, by their faith, they received a commendation because what they were really looking for was Jesus. We look at the entire Old Testament. What the sacrificial system was really looking for was Jesus. All of the law pushes us towards Christ. Everyone in the Old Covenant was being pressed. They were really looking for Christ. And now the great thing for us is instead of just having outside actions is that we are offered heart change. We can have a heart change not by mere actions. Okay? We can have heart change, not behavior modification. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing for us to comprehend. You see, Jesus models this with His baptism and the Holy Spirit's indwelling. If you remember, Jesus went to John the Baptist and He was baptized. And as He came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended on Him like a dove. And there was a voice from heaven. Who can tell me what that voice of heaven said? Behold, this is... Now, let's have a big list of what had Jesus done up to that point. He hadn't begun His ministry yet. He hadn't started His ministry. So He wasn't, God was pleased with the relationship. God is pleased with this indwelling of the Spirit. God is pleased. God loves you. I mean, that's why we sang that song this morning. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? You see, God is pleased with us because of Jesus. And that is huge. And so through faith in Christ comes righteousness, which is this relationship that He has for us. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, we see this weird connection of all these Old Testament heroes. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. So all these Old Testament people who are listed in the Hall of Faith, you know, there are some pretty fantastic stories. You know, we're hearing about the various things that they did. They all were looking for something that was far off. Think about Abram. He comes out and he sojourns and he's looking for something. What he's really looking for is something greater than just his offspring. It's this promise of all the nations of the world are going to be blessed through his offspring, through that covenant. That's through Jesus, ultimately. We think of Moses leading the children of Israel out of bondage and into the promised land. And the promised land wasn't just that portion of land. It was symbolic of something greater that God has for us through Jesus. So they were viewing something greater. And how can we understand this? How can we come to this place? Well, the Apostle Paul begins to take up this understanding of what this greater thing is, which is this righteousness that we can have in God's sight. In Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 22, he says this, but now the righteousness of God. Now pause right there. To the readers, this is what they thought righteousness was. To Jews at the time, following the law, that's through the following of the law that would absolve sins. That's how they were made okay to come into the presence, to make their offering. They had to have a sacrifice. Now, here's what he's saying. Paul says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Guys, that is huge. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is tying into, is this concept that through Jesus, it's greater than anything in the old covenant could offer us. Through faith, we are made right in God's eyes. It's not something that we acquire. It's something that Jesus acquired. And we accept it through faith. And that is the gospel. That is the gospel. Why is this important? Because far too many people in the church today have this concept. I need Jesus in my times of crisis. Or perhaps I have a bad day. And I know from time to time you have a bad day. I'd admit that probably most of us in this room from time to time will have a bad day. Maybe you said some things you shouldn't have said. Anybody ever talk crossly and you thought maybe I really shouldn't have done that? Anybody ever have a bad week? Anybody ever have a bad month? Bad year? Anybody want to go for a decade? Anybody here have a really bad decade? Yeah, the 80s. We just don't want to deal with those. Okay. Well, we have these times and these understandings where these things happen. And during those times of crisis, we think, I need Jesus. When I mess up, it is ingrained in me. It is ingrained with me when I make a mistake or when I say something that I shouldn't have. Immediately, I think, I need Jesus. Anybody else? I need Jesus when I mess up. When I sin, when I fall short, I need Jesus. Here's the sad part, and what we can't fall victim to, is that we need Jesus when we mess up, but when we're doing pretty well, we don't need Him as much. That's huge. Newsflash, you need Him constantly, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and on leap year, 365 still. You need Him constantly, all the time, even in our best, in the most perfect that we can be, we still need Jesus. And our faith in Him is what allows us to be right in God's sight. So think of it like this, that faith brings us righteousness, but it doesn't stop there. Because faith then, you know, when I have this conversation with people, they're acting like, okay, so our works don't matter. So what you are saying, this is a debate I have with people all the time. What you're saying is it doesn't matter what I do. That's what you're saying? And what I'm saying is no. I'm saying what you do doesn't make you right. Your faith in Christ makes you right. Your faith in who He is to you. Your relationship with God. That's what makes you right. And immediately people are like, well, your pastor, you're saying that people can just throw the law away. Yep. I know that's going to make a lot of us very uncomfortable. I'm saying we don't go add to it. We don't go add to it. Now, here's the next part. Because don't walk out the door right now. Please, don't walk out the door tonight because you need to get the next part. So faith brings righteousness. Through faith, we have righteousness. Here's the second part. Faith leads us to action. Period. Faith leads to action. You don't just have faith and then not do anything. That's not faith. In fact, the Bible says that that's dead faith, is what James begins to write. Ephesians, look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. It's probably most clear as Paul writes this for us. This will help us understand it. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It's the gift of God. Praise the Lord for that. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Verse 10 is the big one. For we are His. We should just put a period right there, but no. We are His workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus for what? All right. Which God had prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So faith leads to action. Actions don't lead to faith. That's how legalism, that's how legalistic Christianity thrives. It says you have to do and you gotta fix yourselves and you gotta do all these actions to make yourself right. And ultimately that puts a huge wedge between us and God that Jesus came to remove. What the writer here is letting us know and what Paul is echoing in the sentiment in Ephesians 8 or 2, 8 through 10 is that we were saved through faith by grace. All right. We're saved by grace through faith, and we're saved for good works which God prepared for us. And true faith always, everybody say always, leads to action. Anyone who says that, oh, I believe in Christ and remains the same is mistaken. That's not becoming a Christian. Becoming a Christian is a death experience and a rebirth experience. You are changed from the very core. Your heart is changed. And so in that way, our actions can somehow be a good barometer of what's actually going on inside of us. There's a process in which we have our mind. We have to retrain our mind. We have to allow our mind to be renewed, is how Scripture says it. Let me use this phrase. I was praying about how to convey this to you guys this week, and this phrase popped in my mind. God does not just save us from, He saves us to. I love that phrase. God did not just save us from. So many people are like, yeah, I gotta go to church. And if I go to church, you know, somehow, just adding something to my schedule will be indicative. No, no, no. God has a work for you to do. God has a work. And that work for you to do is to be His, is to show His, to be used in His will. So He saves us not just from, and the word from is from hell. I'm glad to be saved from hell. Anybody else? Pastor, don't talk about hell. It makes us uncomfortable. No more than hell is going to be uncomfortable. So I'd rather make you uncomfortable right now. There is a hell. It is a real place. In fact, Jesus talked more about hell than He talked about heaven. There's a reason. He doesn't want anybody to go there. For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave. And when we have faith in that. But it doesn't just stop on that. He doesn't just save us from hell. He saves us to a new life. And that's where too many believers get stuck. I'm really glad that hell is dealt with, but I never moved on to the fact that God has a new life. Everybody say new life. He's got a new life for me. And it's a glorious, wonderful new life. And that life is not just to do things, but to be. To be what? To be His. To be His. And back in chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 8, he goes on this big, long list. He says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go. And then he goes on, he says, look, by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain. And he goes on that Noah, by faith, he built. And so faith leads us to action. Is our faith leading us to action? You see, and as I thought about this, all these individuals obeyed, and all that they were obeying was the shadow. Remember how we talked last week? It was just a shadow of the good things to come. And so if they obeyed the shadow, how much more should we obey the Son? Well, how do we obey the Son? Because we have fellowship with God's Spirit. We have fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit. That's a beautiful thing. So as God's Spirit leads us, we should be obedient to that. Third point. So my first point was through faith, we have righteousness. Second point is faith leads us to action. Third point is this, faith empowers us to change. And I mean change from the inside out. You know, and I could simply say, you know what? My grandpappy had a short fuse. My daddy had a short fuse and I have a short fuse. That's just how I am. Here's what I want to tell you. I have been born again. And the DNA of my new daddy is far more powerful than anything that the world has given me. And you think, well, that's not science. I want to tell you, it's God's Spirit. And God's Spirit for my life and how I'm going to testify, I thank God for new birth. I thank God for the power of the blood of Jesus to conquer. And I only stand because of that. And that is what is offered to all of us. Faith empowers us to change. And Moses is an example in a way. Hebrews 11, 24 through 28 says, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He left something behind. How? Through faith in God who called him out. He said he chose rather to be mistreated with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. Through faith, the things that I used to want, I don't want anymore. In fact, now I want different things. By faith, he left Egypt. That's huge for some of us because some of us are still stuck in Egypt. What is Egypt? Egypt is that thing that holds you in bondage. Some of us are in bondage of comments that a parent told us early in life or that a teacher told us or maybe a coach said, you're never going to do anything. Maybe you suffered a failure. You suffered a business issue. You had something happen and someone labeled and they said, this is all you'll ever be. And that has become a boundary for you. And you can't get past it. Oh, my dad will never love me. My mom will never care for me. Someone left me. And those are real hurts. And I get it. Seriously, as one who suffered real hurts, I get it. But here's what I want to tell you. Is Christ greater? And the answer is yes. And if Christ is greater, then he can call you out of that Egypt that says, I never have a voice. I can never overcome this through the blood of Jesus. Yes, you can. So he empowers us for change. By faith, verse 27, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's a beautiful thing. So by faith, we come out of our bondage. By faith. Not by the power of our actions, but by the power of Christ's actions. Verse 28 through 29, I love this part. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. What does that mean? That means by faith, our past is dealt with. Our oppressors are destroyed and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ is activated. You see, chapters 1 through 10, I just scratch my head. What does it mean to me that Christ is greater than Moses? What does it mean he's greater than the angels? He's greater than the law. He's greater than the sacrificial system. He's greater than the priesthood. What does all that mean? How does that do anything to me today in 2017? The same thing, guys, that it did to the readers, the Jewish Christians who read these words. It, by faith, it applies the greatness of Jesus Christ. Now I gotta step back before I spit on the communion table. Okay. By faith, it applies the greatness of Jesus Christ. That's why we keep it covered, just for all of you to know. So, faith applies the power of Jesus Christ and Jesus' greatness, and it activates it in our life. Through faith, that's a beautiful thing. And my final thought for us here today is this. Faith redefines us. And I put that word redefines us because a lot of us have been defined, but now faith can redefine us. Hebrews chapter 11, 32 and 33. I love this. And what more shall we say? For time would fail me to tell. And look at the words of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, and of the prophets. Okay. So he's using these guys as example of what the good thing of faith can do. Remember a couple months ago, when everybody in the church was getting real restless pew syndrome, when we were studying the minor prophets, everybody's like, can we please just get on and can we get to the right-hand side of the book? Because the left-hand side of the book is kind of boring. Remember? Now we went through then we spent this long period of time in the book of Judges. Remember how we broke down all these guys? And we're like, yeah, let's look at Samson. Because when we were kids in Sunday school, we colored pictures of Samson. We stayed in the lines and we went home saying, Samson's big guy and I want to be just like a strong guy like Samson. No, you don't. As far as role models go, Samson taint one. He was an egomaniac bonehead I don't know how else we could describe him. He was a mess. He was a total mess. He was ruled by his passions. I mean, if we look at David, there's a moral pillar for us. I'm not going to be who God called me to be. I'm not going to go out and fight for my kingdom. Instead, I'm going to sit back, and now I'm getting restless. And so I see a lady bathing who's another man's wife, and I just keep on looking. And then I decide that I'm going to go get her. Oh, and then she's got a husband. Well, now I'm going to conspire to kill her husband. Well, he's more righteous. Well, I'm going to flat out just have him murdered. And then I'm going to put on this big thing as if it didn't happen. What a role model. Yeah. Yeah. Barak, Gideon. Gideon started out actually pretty well. But Gideon had to be told the same thing over and over and over. I'm not going to rehash those sermons. They're online. You can go read them. You can go listen to them. You know, Gideon had to be told over and over and over and over to believe. And he said, oh, yeah, keep telling me, God. Yeah. Okay. So point being, these guys weren't like really wonderful people, okay? I'm not trying to dump on them. I'm not trying to look back thousands of years later and say they were horrible. The bottom line is they weren't perfect. Can we agree with that? They were not. In fact, they were really, 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 really imperfect. And in their imperfectness or their imperfections, faith can be applied to the point that now, in fact, they're usable. In fact, faith is greater than even their mistakes and even their failures and even those things. Because if you look at David, yeah, he had some bad, bad seasons, but he also had times where he came back. We look at Samson in the very end. Look, he gave it back up to God, and God gave him his strength right back. We look at these individuals, and they had some rough, rough seasons, but faith can redefine them. And so the point I want to make for you here today is maybe you've made some mistakes in your life. Maybe you're sitting here and say, first half of my life, I was kind of like a do-over. What do I do now? I guess I'm just going to live on plan B for the remainder of my days. I was talking to a lady after first service who said, you know, look, I'm in my 90s and I'm just getting it. I said, hey, you got it. That's better than not, right? I'm just understanding that God loves me because he loves me. And then I'm right in his eyes because of Christ, not because... That's a great conversation to have. Here's the deal. No matter where you are in your life, faith can redefine you and make this from now on. Now faith is. And your next days can be your best days because Christ is greater than your past. Amen? Because Christ is greater than your mistakes. Amen? Because Christ is greater than your ability. Amen? Because Christ's love for you is greater than you can comprehend. That's your daddy. That is God's love for you in Christ. And that means that the life Christ has for you is greater than the life that you make on your own.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School on for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday School class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.